The groundhog says things will warm up soon, and a new jobs report says they already have.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, if you believe the groundhog who reportedly did not see his shadow this morning, it's going to be an early spring. And if you believe the numbers this morning, the nation's employment picture is already heating up. The job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says employers announced just 39,000 job cuts last month. That's the lowest January figure since tracking began in 1993. Let's bring in John Challenger, the firm's CEO. He joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So on average, John, employers announce about 100,000 job cuts every January. Last month, it was just 39,000. Is this number as good as it seems?
Well, the cuts were up 20% from December, but that was a very low month as well. And it's very unusual because usually what we see is a big spillover effect in January as companies hold off laying people off in the late part of December, and then they move them into January. So this is really a very positive sign.
Where are the job cuts that we did see coming from?
Job cuts are heaviest in the government sector. That area is still in recession, maybe going into further recession. We saw over 6,000 cuts there. The big deficits are inevitably going to lead to more state, local job cuts at that part of the economy.
And what do you think, John, that this means for the big employment report that we're going to get on Friday from the Labor Department?
I think it's a positive signal. Now, the unemployment rate took a big drop from 9.8% to 9.4%. Usually there's an adjustment back when you see that big of a jump. It usually moves in tenths of a percent. But still, all in all, for January and on into 2011, this is a sign that the economy from a labor perspective is getting much better.
Good to hear. John Challenger, CEO of Challenger Gray and Christmas, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you.
From jobs to paychecks now, most of us are about to start feeling those new federal tax cuts that were passed at the end of last year. They went into effect January 1st, but many payroll processors are still catching up. Well, to find out what those tax cuts will mean for the American worker once they do show up, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So are we about to start feeling really rich with this big payroll tax cut coming through?
Well, to put it in economic terms, not so much. And the reason for that is kind of twofold from the consumer's point of view. On the one hand, yeah, we're going to get a little cut in payroll taxes, but at the same time, gas prices are going up. It's already gas prices above $3 a gallon nationally. Here in California, where I am, it's about $3.20 or so. And with all that unrest in the Middle East, we're already seeing oil prices going up. So the prospect of $4 a gallon, not exactly unreasonable. That's going to put a big bite in a lot of people's money. And at the same time, we had the Department of Agriculture coming out the other day and saying food prices could rise as much as 3% this year. And that's a very big deal. In fact, McDonald's, of all people, just the other day announced that the price of Quarter Pounders and Big Macs and all the rest could be going up very soon because their grocery bill for beef and cheese and whatnot is also rising.
All right. So prices of the things that we buy are rising, but the economy is getting better, right? So shouldn't we have a little more money to spend on these higher priced goods?
Then you got to parse the numbers again, Jeremy. For instance, the Commerce Department came out the other day and said earnings are up an incremental 0.4%, which sounds good. But they also said that spending is up 0.7%. Now, that's a good thing because of consumers count for a whole lot of economic activity. But when earnings are up a little bit and spending is up a bit more, the only thing that means is savings is going down. And you know what that means, Jeremy?
We're putting it on the credit card.
We're putting it on plastic. And so if you're in the credit card game, this is a good time for you.
All right, but back to this payroll tax cut, David. Are you saying that it really doesn't mean anything for us?
I wouldn't go that far because the stimulus is going to be holding off even worse economic prospects. So for that extent, that's a good thing. But does it get us out of the woods any faster? I'm not so sure about that.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across the globe, up 0.6% in London right now. Chocolate maker Hershey said this morning profits were up last quarter, but the cost of ingredients the company uses to make Kisses and peanut butter cups will be significantly higher this year as well. Big day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow jumped 148 points to close at 12,040. That's the first finish above 12,000 since June 19th, 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rates CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Google unveils a new Android operating system today. It's called Honeycomb, and it's Google's first software designed specifically for tablet computers. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
In the rush to compete with the iPad, dozens of computer makers, from Dell to Samsung, built tablets running Android software that was designed for phones. Google's new Honeycomb operating system is the company's first real crack at software designed expressly for tablets.
Android is working with multiple hardware partners in multiple regions and with multiple mobile operators.
Neil Motzen is with Strategy Analytics. He says Google wants to take on Apple by getting Android running on as many tablets as possible, rather than building tablets itself. So to make Honeycomb work on lots of different machines, engineers made it simple. Google's Mike Claron says there are no buttons at all.
We were aiming for something that is futuristic but familiar. Everything is 3D, it's controlled by gestures, and information reses in when you need it, and it de-reses when you don't.
Most Google tablets will have touch screens, but Google execs say someday soon, you might be able to hang an Android tablet on your wall and wave at it to get it to work. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, we're just a few days away from the Super Bowl, but the economic effects are already being felt near Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Residents are renting out parking spaces in their driveways for as much as $1,000 a spot. According to the website TMZ, one woman is even offering up space in her fridge so that tailgaters can store their beer. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Despite steady economic growth, Bulgarians are just unhappy people.
Bulgaria is a reasonably developed country, so you would expect it to be very happy. But Bulgaria is sad relative to its income.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What do you suppose is making Bulgarians blue anyhow? That story and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.